Someone once told me that no one says life is fair. When you hear that when you're young, you have no idea what it really means. Once you've lived a little, and then you lose everything, suddenly it makes sense. This podcast is a true life memoir of someone who lost everything and is rebuilding in search of who they once were. They're sharing their story as part of their healing process, and so that anyone else out there living through similar circumstance knows that they're not alone. Hey everybody, it's Dave the Clone, back again with another entry in the Feeling It, Healing It, A Diary of Recovery. Well, we're drawing in on a close to the first month of the new year here. It's going into the last week of January. And it's been a little bit of a lull month, you know? And I'm sure from the last couple episodes you guys could tell that the going into the end of the year with mixed hopes. It's funny, if I reflect on where I was, and it was before I had started recording this show, before I had started keeping this diary. Last holiday season, I was sort of swimming in this unstoppable optimism. I had just taken a course, or the first of the few courses I took throughout the year, on affiliate marketing in December, and I was sort of gearing up for that being an aspect of like my new life. And I'd also taken a sales job selling ad agreements in community magazines, which, you know, their presentation really made it look like this was going to be a life-changing opportunity. And I think probably for those who are successful at it, it is. And so I remember, you know, going into January feeling like I was going to be unstoppable, even though there was sort of the looming notion that the landlords were planning on putting the house on the market, and that, you know, had to sort of have that in the back of my mind the whole time. I just remember feeling like I had this no receipts required feeling of optimism. I was really, really positive. I was really, really raring to go, feeling like the Terminator, and like I was going to get my life back. And that obviously didn't happen, at least not to the degree that I was hoping it would. I still haven't figured out affiliate marketing, and I definitely did not do well at that sales job. By March, I think it was a mutual decision that I would no longer be working for that company. And so it's, you know, interesting here in January of 2024, looking back and thinking about how different that felt and trying to get back to that. I feel like in a lot of ways, an entire year of rejections from the job hunt has stacked up and taken its toll. And then having a few sort of near misses, I guess I'd say, with some of these, you know, interviews that showed promise but then didn't ultimately lead into the opportunities I was hoping they would. And definitely the last few entries that were maybe recorded in December and the beginning of the month that only released in the last week or two, the darkness had taken a pretty strong hold again. And I want to kind of apologize for that, and also thank everybody who's still on the journey with me here for continuing to stick with it, because for as much as we always talk about it being a series of ups and downs and a series of peaks and valleys, it really felt like things had fallen into a trench that was pretty daunting as far as something trying to something, you know, that I could see a possible way out of. And even though I'm still fighting, even though it's still climbing as I'm crossing into the next month here, I find myself, continuing on the sort of spiritual side of the journey and trying to use that to help reframe perspective, but finding myself having, like, almost on a daily basis, it swapping between optimism and pessimism, you know, seeing light at the end of the tunnel, hope for victory, and then feeling like stuck in never-ending defeat. I've actually had, in the last 2 weeks, I've had a couple meetings with both mentor types and spiritual healer types. And it's like I can definitely feel a difference after those conversations. You know, getting an outside perspective from somebody who can say, dude, you know, one of the things that you need to take stock of right now is that as difficult as all of this is, this might be the absolute best time of your life because you are going to figure this out. And not only figure it out, but it's giving you an opportunity to really build whatever the life that you actually have in your dreams and aspirations. You're going to be able to direct it, and you're going to be able to make it what you want. And instead of seeing this as being stuck in quicksand, as like a sentence in a prison of some kind that you have no idea of when you're going to get out, that this is really, you have all the materials in front of you to start building a new house. And so there are days and there are moments where that feeling really does come to the surface. And especially the mentor that I met with, he was very optimistic and said, you know, you're going to look back on this when you get to the other side of it and realize that this was the best thing that could have ever happened to you because it allows you to take control of your own destiny. Now, these are sort of some of the feelings that I remember feeling last January. And I think what I'm taking from this is this idea that if I'm that close and the blinders are still on my side of this, but these other folks can see, like, dude, you were like steps away. It may still seem really far away. It may still seem insurmountable, but you are so close. It's just going to be like a matter of still having a little bit more patience and learning to have the faith in yourself. Because that's really what I've come to realize is a pitfall of all this, is that it's this sort of feeling of focusing on the fact that it feels like failure that then calls into question and brings into the realm of doubt all of these other things. Like, do I suck at what I do? You know, I've really been wrestling with the idea that maybe I'm not good. You know, maybe I was in a very protected, big fish in a small pond kind of situation with the old career that I had. And maybe I'm just not as good at what I do as I think I am. And maybe if that's the case, then I should be looking to try to go in a different direction as opposed to being resentful for it. And I don't think that I'm necessarily resentful for it. I think it's like I'm only really just in the last month kind of entertaining that, like, okay, maybe this is a learning experience. You know, one of the things that when I was talking to my spiritual healer friend, it kind of came out in the course of the conversation that, and I've spoken about it here before, so I'm sure this is going to sound like familiar territory to those of you who've been around for the long haul with us, that since this is a scenario that I was actually had in my mind as something that I was deathly afraid of, you know, the idea of losing my job, losing my way, having to lean on my support system, having to crash with my parents, having to couch surf with friends if need be, and almost kind of fall all the way back down the ladder, start over again. And I'm still, I mean, I'm very close to just grabbing a couple days a week at a grocery store just to have somewhere to go and leave the house and, you know, see other people and get out of my own head. Cause that's the other thing, the isolation. And what I realized about where I had been living was that I was so living so small, living so isolated, living in my own head so much that, these sort of courses and the sales job, at least the sales job, was getting me out of the house and going onto these appointments and meeting other people. And so that's something that's been missing for sure. And I need to find a way to replace that, just to be getting exposed to other people's energies and getting exposed to the outside world more, because I am projecting this, not only this feeling of failure about myself, but I'm projecting out. I constantly say to friends that I catch up with in the new year here, you know, a lot of social media interaction with people I haven't spoken to in a while. And, you know, when I mentioned, like, yeah, you know, I'm still kind of living at my parents' place and I really didn't think I was going to be here this long. And I really am feeling this kind of pressure to figure it out and get myself into a new situation before they get tired of me being here, to the point where they actually come out and say, hey, you got to figure something out. Like, this is your last month. And I don't know that that's going to happen. I haven't gotten any indications that that's going to happen. They're actually being very, very supportive, which I don't know how to truly articulate how much that means to me, mostly because it is requiring me to take a certain level of stock in being and how disappointed I am in myself. But I think, you know, in order to give back, it sort of behooves me to really, you know, if need be, if that's what it takes, going and getting a part-time job, doing something for just minimum wage, even just bringing in some money. I feel like even that would add to a more positive mindset, because it's really like, it's scary when you're in this and you're looking at all these opportunities and these job postings and you're like, that I know I'm qualified for, and whatever, maybe it's because my resume isn't in perfect ATS format or something, you know, there's something going on that I still haven't figured out that's keeping me from getting past the gate. And I think some of it might even be my mindset, you know, the fact that, like, you know, when I wake up in the morning and I get up and I, like this morning in particular, is interesting that I'm recording this today because I forgot to set my alarm. So I missed going for my morning walk with my stepdad and our neighbors. And on those days, I already feel like, you know, I'm sleeping in past when I should be. I'm sleeping in past when somebody who should be basically spending every waking minute trying to improve and get their situation straightened out, I shouldn't be sleeping past 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. And then my thoughts go to, like, oh, see, it's already that mentality of, like, I have nowhere to go, but if I did have somewhere to go, I would still be upset about having to get up, you know? And so one of the things that came out when I was talking to the mentor was that maybe going back to the corporate world is not a good idea. And maybe that's part of why, even though I'm applying, there's a part of me inside that says, I really don't want this job, but I'm going to go for it because I need it. And it's like a return to the prison that was what my corporate career had turned into. It would be like willingly going back and putting on the shackles just because that's the only way I can see. And it was like one of these free, you know, I'm going to give you a free session. And if you like how it goes and you can, down the road, you can afford this. Actually, I should give this guy props. Simon Bedros. He's an author. He's written a couple books on sales, on how to close in selling, and also on the wealth frequency, how to draw wealth into your life. I'll link some of those in the show notes for this episode. Cause he gave me sort of a list of books because he said, it really is this mindset, dude. You know, you need to be able to, you know, cover your blind spots. So for me, obviously one of the biggest blind spots was that I worked for someone else for so long that I had no idea how to value myself. And I have no idea how to really present myself and my skills and the value that my skills bring to be able to command the kind of money I'm trying to make. And at the same time, I don't have any experience with any, you know, name brand clients that like I could say, and that everyone in the world would be like, oh, cool, you worked with them. It's not like I've worked with Nike or anybody. So I'm still in sort of a phase of establishing authority. And he said, but dude, I looked at your LinkedIn profile and you have the skills, you know, you could definitely be the top of the top. You know, you could be like a player in your market. You just need to learn how to sell yourself. You need to learn how to close sales, and you need to shift your mindset to be looking at the opportunities before you, as opposed to being kind of chained in the shadows. And I've, of course, in all this journey and all this kind of hippy dippy stuff that, and I say that lovingly, I know that it's, I do take it seriously. I do believe in a lot of this stuff. I'm believing in the forces of energy of the universe and frequencies. And, you know, I've watched The Secret recently. A friend, one of the guys that I walk with in the mornings, he was like, have you ever read The Secret? Have you ever seen the movie The Secret? He goes, he's like, I'll tell you something. He's like, I believe in that. And I've read that book and it really did help me. And it changed my life when I was going through a challenging time. And he goes, and you know what? I'm going to give you my copy of the book. And he's like, there's a second book. So I'm reading that one now, but I'm going to give you my first book. And I want you to watch the documentary. And it was very familiar territory from some of the other sort of spiritual self-help things that I've been seeing and trying to instill in my own life. And so, you know, this particular book, this might be part of what this show evolves into, is kind of a keeping track of Dave's journey with The Secret. And, you know, the first... there's like, you would just read one page a day. It's a full year of reading one page a day. And each day that one page is kind of, you know, you want to read it early in the day, like when you first get up, so that it sets your mind up for the day. And one of the one yesterday was all about how what you're thinking draws more of that for the following day. So if you spend your whole day depressed and focused on the negative, it's going to bring more negative for tomorrow. But if you can adjust that and start thinking about the positive, you know, there's a lot to this whole thing with the power of positive thinking. Like if you watch the documentary, there's a lot to the idea, and it's very similar to all the other manifestation things that I've been, you know, working with, and that you have to sort of in your mind already envision yourself having what it is that you want, right? So when I write in my manifestation journal every day, one of the manifestations is I have a job that I love with a large steady income. But I don't really picture what that job is. And I think by default, I'm assuming it has to be a job just like the job I used to have. But that job, I didn't love it. And it was steady, but it wasn't a very large income. It was larger than the income I have right now. But working the way I am now, if I had more clients, then I would be making the larger income. So there's something to be said for trying to figure this out without defaulting back to what I know, right? And so so yesterday's page was, it's up to you to adjust your mindset so that you're bringing towards you more of what you're looking for, as opposed to just bringing towards you all the things you don't want. Like in the movie, it was funny. They were saying every one of your thoughts is sending out frequencies, right? And this is a big thing with this whole idea between manifestation, The Secret, and all of us. And I'm sure there's probably some people listening to this now going, oh, Dave, how much of this do we have to put up with? A little bit more. Because if anybody who's in this struggle the way I am at this point, when it's bad, right, you know, and when things are heavy and when it's very low frequency, what could it hurt to start trying to imagine a better life, you know? And what would the elements of those better life, of that better life be? You know, they said in the movie, if you go to the mailbox every day afraid of what bills might be showing up, then bills are going to show up, because the universe is like a receiver, and your mind is sending out these radio frequencies in the form of your thoughts. And if all of it, your thought is debt, bills, it's getting debt, bills, gotcha, sending, you know what I mean? You got them, they're on their way. But if you start thinking checks, income, you know, there's a check that I'm owed. I actually have two invoices out that still haven't been paid yet. So like just imagining getting those checks and imagining that income showing up. And the more you start kind of getting into that mode, the more of that will start making its way. And that's the part that what allows for the skepticism, right, is that they never explain how. They just say that it does. And even the folks in the documentary, they are all people like the guy who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul. This is how he did this. This is how he got to that level, was he told himself, I want to make $100,000 this year. And he took a dollar bill and he added the zeros to it with magic marker, and he taped it to his ceiling. So every morning when he woke up, that was the first thing he saw. And he would just say to himself every day, I want to make $100,000 this year, or I want to make $100,000 in the next 6 months. You know, whatever it is, kind of, you have to be like sort of specific, like you're ordering in a restaurant, right? And he said then one day he was in the shower and he had this idea, and he said, hey, you know, I just wrote this book. Maybe I should look into getting that published. And then he went to the grocery store, and for the first time ever, the National Enquirer cover of the magazine caught his eye, and he didn't know why. And he's looking at it going, wow, you know. And then a week later, he had been invited to do a lecture to professors at a college. And he was talking about his book. He was talking about the concepts in his book. And after his lecture, somebody came up to him and said, I really loved your talk. I'd love to interview you. And he said, who do you write for? And they said, well, I'm a freelancer, but most of the time I sell my stuff to the Inquirer. And all of a sudden he said he felt like, oh my God, like Twilight Zone-ish, you know, like, that's so interesting. Like, I just had the idea for the book. I'm looking into getting the book published, because he said, if I could sell 400,000 copies of the book at 25 cents a piece, that would be $100,000. And then he gets that interview. The interviewer features his book. That puts the book in the public mind, you know, and all of a sudden he wound up selling a whole bunch of copies. And I didn't make 100,000, he made 93,000. But he said, you know, instead of saying, oh, this doesn't work, I only made 93, it was like, holy crap, I made $93,000. So it's everything from looking at things through a more positive lens, and then being in a state of gratitude as opposed to a state of resentment, which I totally identify with as a big part of my problem, is like, you know, allowing the sort of victim side of this to keep coming to the surface. And I know this at times, my approach to these episodes has kind of been, in a way, kind of using this platform to air that type of a grievance, you know, and I do think there's still a place for releasing, you know, letting that negativity or let that energy out so that you can replace it with the more positive. And I think that's why, you know, things like going to a therapist, or if you're struggling with substances, or the trauma from having been addicted to a substance, or even a friend of mine suggested I try finding like an Alcoholics Anonymous or a Narcotics Anonymous group, not for my sobriety journey, but for the recovery from the abusive relationship, because it's all about being able to cope with and confront that this part of you, this scar, exists without letting it control you anymore and letting your destiny being tied to that anymore. And I've yet to do that, but in sort of realizing that one of the things that could be contributing to my difficulty is that I've been isolating in a new way. You know, I think in some ways I feel like I might be kind of trying to duck the firing range a little bit with trying to stay out of the way and not be as obviously present, because I'm, you know, sitting around waiting, like fearing the bill showing up in the mailbox. I'm afraid of my parents telling me, hey, you have a time limit now, you've got like, you know, 60 days, 30 days to get out of here. Which I feel like, I think maybe sort of the bully, the self bully of my personality is very forthright in thinking that's well within their rights to do, dude. I mean, what has been one of the biggest stereotypes of what like a loser in society is like, you know, somebody who lives in their parents' basement after a certain age, you know, and I'm definitely well past whatever that certain age might be. In fact, you know, I think part of one of the things that has kept my mind tuned into this sort of more negative frequencies is some of the videos and video rabbit holes I wound up going down on YouTube, which is ironic that I'm posting new podcasts on YouTube, the 15 minutes of Movie Memory Madness. Selfish plug there. So for anybody who wants to hear me be happy about stuff and thinking, talk about nostalgia about movies that I love and grew up watching, that's definitely a show to check out. But I do appreciate you checking in here. And seeing that there's like been such a sort of shift in our culture, that identity and politics have become so intertwined that now it's like everything is a judgment against everything, right? So, you know, relationship culture is very weird these days. I haven't been shy about mentioning this sort of disappointment with the fact that we've got the sort of rise of the DIY adult entertainment industry that has basically turned every, I mean, I don't know that I have any right to feel the way I do about it, but it just, there is something that feels kind of broken about it and surface level and made everything so much more superficial, especially as so have the dating apps and the sort of rise of narcissism, like well beyond the level that it has ever been at before, that makes it hard to admit to a situation like this without a sort of fear of that kind of judgment being aimed at my, I mean, dude, I got into an argument with somebody on Instagram because I commented on a video that I thought was lame. And I said, this is so lame. And it became such a level of back and forth. It was actually a comment on this musician guy. I don't even know what his name is, but he does the Ayo Cheetah, what's up, like those songs. And, you know, it was a funny gimmick when it first started, but now he's like hundreds of posts down the line. I think the music sucks. I'm really not a fan. I think it has lost its luster and has become sort of overplayed. And but, you know, it's also, it's was this guy's shtick. He's got his own line of like cooking, I think like sauces and stuff now as a result, because all of his songs were about the cheetah puppet teaching him how to cook, right? And but I, you know, I said, this is so lame. And it became like I told the firing squad to open fire. And one back and forth got so intense. Now, this is my fault, too, for continuing to respond to it. You know, I think one of the things that really kind of behooves us in being better, stronger people, the bigger person, is knowing when to walk away from sort of the infantile argumentativeness that has been sort of, you know, that's something you used to see happening in the schoolyard in elementary school. And yet here it is, grown adults doing it on social media in a digital record that anybody would be able to see down the road. You know, there's this beautiful thing called the block button, and I am fully admitting that I should have done it sooner, but it got to the point where the person I was going back and forth with, and I was really just going like, so you can't express an opinion without people coming after you anymore. Like, you don't have to respond to my comment if you're that upset. Like, why are you so upset that I said this thing is lame? And the person wound up saying like, oh yeah, this guy who's got like a video of himself crying on here is telling people that stuff is lame. And I'm like, so we are at a new low of judging complete strangers and making these snap judgments that then become a referendum on their character. But this isn't isolated to just little skirmishes on one social media platform. It's across the board. You know, you can't express an opinion that, you know, it's weird that everybody's a porn star now. It's weird that if you're single and you meet somebody, you have to like have the conversation about, hey, so you don't happen to sell pictures of yourself or like, you know, films of yourself getting boned by half the people you know, do you? Because I'm not really interested in getting romantically involved in that, from everything from a superficial level to a healthcare level. And there's just something a little bit, I don't know, maybe I have a traditional side that is starting to lean a little bit more conservative these days. You know, I always thought that that's the kind of thing that's supposed to be, you know, just for your significant other. Like, it's like there's no private intimacy anymore, you know? And so just by expressing that, now I've been accused of openly expressing hate towards sex workers, which I'm like, no, listen, you make your choice. And if you do what you have to do for your life, but you also then can't turn around and be upset that someone wouldn't want to get into a serious relationship with you unless they were also part of that same industry. You know what I mean? And even then it's sort of like, well, it's definitely not the kind of relationship I grew up ever imagining, where it's like, yeah, we both go out and sleep with other people all day and film it, and then the whole world watches it and masturbates to it, and then we come home to each other and we snuggle on the couch and eat popcorn and watch Netflix. You know what I mean? It's just such an odd thing to have become so normal. But, you know, it is what it is. And I should be able to express that opinion without it starting any kind of a social battle or a culture war. Yet we've devolved into that now, where everything is a constant culture war. So I think, especially for people who are trying to recover from traumatic experiences, trying to heal, trying to grow and evolve and, you know, move into a new phase of their life, it's difficult to do that without some of this kind of bleeding in, some of this creeping in, some of this skewed view and judgment heavy and sort of surface level responses to things. You know, there's an awful lot of we're all people that we're all forgetting about. Even me with my opinion about people who are doing OnlyFans. Like, yeah, I'm sure some of these people who got into this just needed to do it because they didn't want to go through the pain I'm going through of like trying to figure out a new job and dealing with rejection and then saying, oh, well, what am I going to do? How many, you know, there are people, you know, I had one friend who I haven't spoken to now in about 10 months because they, when I was telling them about, you know, my situation and what my options were, and this was before I had moved out of the place I'd been living in, they were like, well, you know what? I don't have parents to turn to for help, and I've been on my own forever, and I think you just need to suck it up and get a job that you hate like everybody else. And it just seemed to me that they didn't even really want to talk to me anymore, but that they were holding against me that I did have a support system that they didn't have. And I felt like really taken aback by that, because it's sort of like, I get the feeling that you resent that I have something you don't, and because of that, now you're writing off any sort of friendship that we had. And I was really angry when that happened at first, and now I feel badly for them. And in fact, I do miss them even a little bit, you know, which probably sounds very arrogant the way I just said it. But I think it's all part of this, like, look, everybody's journey is unique. Everybody's got their own circumstances and situations. And so what we have to stop doing is comparing ourselves to each other. And I know that's a big part of my, it's a big ingredient in my mix here of why this is so hard is because I do, you know, I compare myself to other people that, you know, that I graduated college with, that I went to school with and grammar school and high school, and other people who haven't fallen as far from grace as I have. And I also compare myself to the sort of more idealized view or vision I used to have of what my life would be like at this point, and sort of lament that I've slipped back. And it's sort of like all of that becomes so heavy and so deep that it almost becomes impossible to see that there's another side, to see that there will be a time when I'm looking back on this, as opposed to always, you know, like falling into the mind trap of feeling like this is the new forever for me, because there's absolutely like, there's no, I can't even allow myself to accept that possibility, even though that is a very real fear that I wake up with. That's part of the panic that I still experience in the morning. Not as strongly every morning. In fact, there have been some mornings in the last month where that feeling wasn't there at all. And I'm like, okay, I need to hold on to whatever I did the night before when I woke up that way so that I can continue to wake up without that fear. Because I think that's where I feel when I was watching the Secret documentary, I was sort of like feeling, oh, you know, like I could almost feel the truth in this. There is this kind of energy response, the concepts, you know, of being positive. You know, the fact that this mentor I spoke to was like, oh, dude, you're so close. You know, you're in a really good position. But here are a bunch of books I want you to read that are going to help you shift your mindset. Because once you shift your mindset, everything will change. And it was the same thing with my spiritual healer friend, who is unfortunately just a little too expensive for me to work with. But she was like, the whole idea, it sounds like a lot of money, but I'm telling you, once you start changing the way you think, the money will come, the money will show up, just like they say in The Secret. It doesn't matter how, it's the thinking about it, it's the living into it, it's the sitting in the fear and realizing that the fear is a byproduct and is not the reality, and that the reality is that the universe wants you to be successful. Oy, maybe this is what my new calling is supposed to be, you know, is kind of adopting all of these kinds of this sort of shifted mindset and letting it become real for me, and then living in that example. More than the, hey, I'm a guy crying about things that happened to me, and I know other people are out there too and feeling lost. The way, I mean, even just looking at this show, how the first episodes are vastly different than some of the episodes in the middle, and definitely this episode, and some episodes that have been a little bit more high energy. I do know that, you know, the last couple episodes before this one were very dark. And it is kind of like, it almost reminds me of what they're describing as the spiritual warfare out there, you know, that some days the darkness is winning and some days the light is winning, and we have to do what we have to do for ourselves. You know, like, I don't feel like I should be allowed to feel happy or relaxed at all because I'm in my parents' house, because I haven't figured out how to get back on the horse. I haven't been bringing in more money than the money I've already been bringing in, which, I've been able to save up a bit since I've been here. So maybe I should venture out and put myself on more of a ledge, on an even less firm branch, so that I'm forced to survive. And part of this whole mindset shift is supposed to be finding ways and reasons to feel good, finding ways and reasons to feel happy, finding ways and reasons to relax, so that you attract more of that. And once you're in that state, you'll be more open to the good stuff. So, And a lot of that comes with envisioning. And I think until I had sort of these experiences with these people who were like, dude, you are so close. You're not the only one who ever to gone through this. And people who've gone through this have then gone on to be great. Gary Vaynerchuk, stuff that he says, very inspiring. You know, it seems like now that I'm seeking out more of this, even in this conversation, it's becoming clearer to me that some more of it's showing up, you know? It's like I had a meeting with a friend who's a spiritual healer. The next day, a guy I'm walking with says, here, I'm going to give you the secret. The next day, I got a message on LinkedIn from a mentor who found me in a Gary V group, who said, yeah, I want to offer you a virtual coffee session where we're no selling. I'm not going to pitch you my services. I'm not going to sell you anything, but let's just have a one-on-one and see what we could do to help you get past some of the challenges and obstacles. And then he gives me a whole bunch of books to read. The first one I ordered showed up today. Oh, and on top of all of this, I'm hoping that I'm not being too repetitive and letting this news out of the bag. I've been auditioning for audiobooks, and I put out 5 auditions recently, and I got hired for one. So now I'm going to be narrating a detective novel starting this week, and I'll be done with it by mid-March. And at that time, I'll be telling everybody, I'll be shouting from the rooftops, everybody go out and buy this book, because you get to hear me read it, doing all the different voices and stuff. And so, there are things for me to have gratitude about, and there are pathways being illuminated for me. And that is something I've been asking for and been writing in my gratitude journal that I am grateful for. So, you know, maybe it's not always as obvious when it's working. And yet the pain of when you feel like it's not working is far greater and more obvious and easier to sort of acknowledge. And that becomes part of the trap, right? Is you don't want to get stuck in focusing on that when there actually is so much other good stuff going on. And the other big thing that the mentor was telling me was, you know, you have to be finding a way to be giving as well, because in order to receive, you have to give. And so he's like, you know, I think right now a lot of your focus seems like on how do I get more money? How do I get that job? How do I do this? How do me? Whereas opposed to what can I do? What can I put into the world? And that's like, it's funny because that's one of the things that a lot of the motivational channels that I follow, they've been talking about, like the key to being an entrepreneur and the key to becoming something successful is you're finding a way to solve a problem. And once you are able to present that solution to the world for this problem that people are having, that will then create the sort of symbiosis of giving and receiving, because you're now alleviating the pain of others by something you're able to do. And I feel like one of the things I'm having trouble figuring out is what it is that I do that can do that. What pain out there is there that I can alleviate? And that could be sort of a short-sighted thing for myself, the feeling like I am not able to do that. But, you know, that was what sort of the principles in the affiliate marketing classes that I took were, is they're like, you know, figure out your niche. You know, there are pain points out there, like everybody who's looking to get in shape, you know, weight loss, people trying to focus on their health. If that's important to you, then it's important to other people too. And so you can then research products that you could sell and build your web store, and then you're serving as a solution to the problem that these people are having. It's if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't have that kind of vision and you're just trying to throw everything at it, you know, I could sell this, I could sell that. That's why it's not going to work. That's why it's falling on its face. So that's something I'm working on now, is trying to figure out. And I think part of it is maybe something along the lines of doing the voices, reading the books. You know, some of the books that I auditioned for were sort of motivational self-help type books, and you know, being able to lend a voice to something that's trying to deliver messages to people that are able to help them help themselves. There's something that sort of resonates there. But at the same time, I've always had, you know, the bigger part of my focus of what I love has been in storytelling and watching movies and creating characters and doing all of these voices to kind of make everything funny. So I think that could, that speaks to why it was a detective novel with several different characters. And even the author, you know, when I sent in my audition, he goes, "Oh man, I loved your read and you got this one's voice down great," you know? And so it's sort of like finding that connection. Now I feel like fiction novels are not necessarily as valuable in the world as novels that could teach people how to have a better mindset or how to, you know, be safer with cybersecurity. But there are still people writing those novels and they need somebody's voice to bring them to life. So maybe that's part of what I'm being called to now as well. But I will tell you, I mean, even when I decided to sit down and record today, I was feeling a great deal of heaviness. Because it's hard for me to find moments to kind of hang my hat on where I feel like I'm making progress lately. And I almost wonder at times, do I have the time to do this show anymore? Do I have the time to be doing a podcast about movies? Even though that podcast, the audience has been steadily growing for the last month. This is going to be the 14th episode getting posted of that, and the last three or four have had almost 1,000 views each, which is not a huge number in the world of YouTube. I mean, I'm talking about the people who really make money on YouTube and making, you know, they're getting millions of views, but for something that I'm not really doing a lot of work to promote, for it to be finding a little bit of a foothold in the algorithm is kind of inspiring. And I'm wondering if it's all about making sure that I continue to do stuff like that at the same time, because at least that's something that's letting out my creative juices that I feel like I don't have a place or even a justifiable expenditure of time to do them, but yet making sure that I still do them. It's kind of like staying a little bit true to me. I mean, that's the other thing too. I do have a new sort of partnership that is going to become eventually a paying client, who is a health and wellness coach. And in our first meeting, I'm sure I've mentioned this before, you know, she asked me who I was. Like, you know, you're telling me about things that happened to you. You're telling me about things that you're going through. But what I want to ask you is, who is Dave? You know, I'm not hearing anything about who you really are, like what your real identity is. And she's like, so I want to ask you, you know, who is Dave? And it was really jarring to me that I didn't have an answer for that. And she said, a lot of people, when they're at the time where they realize they need to ask for help and they realize they need coaching and mentorship to help them do that, that's one of the first things they have to kind of face, is that they may have lost a sense of their identity. And I definitely have been like, it really rocked me when that happened, when that revelation came to the surface. And so I'm going to be doing some video work for her. She's going to be allowing me to take her health and wellness coaching course. And then once I do enough work that it would equal what the course cost, I'm going to continue to do work for her, and she's going to then pay me for the work. So I almost feel like that in a way is an answer to some of the things I've been trying to manifest, because this is all in a way helping me to sort of discover who I am. And in that sort of type of work on myself, it may then open the door to what should I really be going for as a sort of as a job. If it's not going to be, you know, if maybe being rejected as much as I have been by the corporate world as of late is in itself some kind of a weird blessing, you know, because maybe the universe doesn't want me to wind up being stuck somewhere that I'm going to feel that level of misery and imprisonment about that I used to. And so as much as it's a challenge and it's difficult, maybe working a couple days a week at a grocery store is part of that journey to like see what working in that world is like, and who knows who I'm going to meet. I think that's the other thing too, is the idea of the possibility of connection with people that I am not connected to. You know, there's this whole idea that, you know, we have these sort of positive forces that are floating around out there that you're just waiting to cross paths with. And sometimes you're going to do that in the most unlikely, like, who would have thought that one of the guys that I walk with is going to be like, hey, man, you need the secret. You know what I mean? Or who would have thought that someone I went to high school with was going to become a spiritual healer and say, oh, my God, Dave, you know, we were just catching up and you're telling me about everything that's going on with you. I need to have a talk with you just so you could see the possibility of when you open yourself up to what this work does, you know. And it's all about the idea of, and again, shifting mindset and feeling, using your feelings to create the life that you're looking for, as opposed to waiting for life to fix itself for you. You know, putting everything on it being a job could be the wrong way, you know, and I'm only doing it because I don't know what else to do. And so I don't know. I know at this point I'm very much rambling. It's just such a strange time. This year is also, for anybody who's into all this sort of like energies and stuff, the year 2024, since all the numbers add up to 8, is somehow supposed to mean that this is a big energy shift year. And that those who are really, really struggling right now on the levels that I'm describing are supposed to be doing so because we're so close to shifting into the next version of ourselves, or into the better version of ourselves. And I think there's something interesting, and maybe I should try to use this in sort of rekindling my efforts in the world of fiction writing, but sort of interesting that, like, these things, you know, like one of the things my friend said, you know, you could be going through this now because the universe wanted you to learn what it's like to truly face your fears. If this, what you're living through right now, is something that you were afraid of, you actually may have manifested this whole situation so that you would go through it and almost like be reborn by going through it, because once you've gone through it, now you don't have to be afraid of it anymore. You know, you can figure things out and turn things around. And so that's sort of got like a double-edged sword going on, because there's something interesting and kind of in an uncanny way, sort of forcing yourself onto a hero's journey. But then at the same time, there's also something kind of like, well, why is it so hard? You know, why do I suck at it so much? Well, because it was a blind spot. You were taking things for granted. You were taking life for granted. You figured there would always be something there to save you. Maybe it was being in a relationship you shouldn't have been in. You know, in the relationship where I was engaged, I definitely have had to sort of look back at that at times and know that I was sort of hiding in that relationship. And then I was saying, I know, I remember being in that relationship thinking like, well, if I never become famous, or if I never get anywhere with my film career, as long as I have a family and a marriage and eventually kids, that I could always say, well, that in itself is a level of success. And so I hate to use this term because it's so overused and so derogatory, but it's settling in a way. Like, you're, like, I already picked a very lofty dream career when I was a kid, because it would be very understandable if I didn't succeed, right? It's not like I could force Hollywood to make one of my movies, or could force a publisher to publish my book. And it's the kind of thing where, like, yeah, a million people are going for the one or two slots that are available. And so if you don't make it, it's understandable. No one's going to ever hold it against you or say that you didn't try. But if I know I'm hiding in a relationship because it seems like it's going to lead to a marriage, and that then I could always fall back on that marriage being like the alternate to succeeding in what I really wanted to, like, that's, it's such a sad an unfair way of pinning your security on this other thing that involves another person. And so, you know, there's part of me that's very happy for her now that she has what she wanted, that she's got a family and has kids of her own and found somebody. And, you know, there's definitely a big part of me dealing with being lonely right now. Because I do feel still that I need to get myself in a much better, like on much more firm ground, because I don't want to ever be doing that again, where I'm putting the hopes and dreams of my survival on somebody else. It's not fair to bring that much baggage to the table and to put that much baggage on your partner. And at the same time, I felt like I was trying to be that kind of a Superman figure for my last relationship, which allowed me to put myself into the position of being so vulnerable and allowing them to manipulate me with that. You know, you can see how there's so much about, if you don't do the work to define yourself for yourself, to yourself, that you kind of are winging it in such a way that like any little string that doesn't connect or gets snipped could totally bring the whole thing down like a house of cards. And so it took me actually experiencing the coming down in the house of cards to realize that. And this episode has been very therapeutic for me. it's like sort of like a lot of little revelation explosions are going up. And now, you know, part of me is thinking like, I hope that this feeling continues for the rest of the day now after I finish recording, because this is the kind of feeling I was getting after I met with my spiritual healer friend and after the mentor. And then the next day, that feeling started to fade, you know. And then like the feelings of like, I am never going to get out of this. You know, every time I get a rejection email, I even got one today from Capital One, you fuckers, saying, yeah, thank you for applying for this work at home position, but we're going to move on with a different candidate. It's like, Jesus, you know, I almost just want somebody to call me and say, hey, listen, you know, you just didn't have enough experience in this. The way that they write these, it's either they tell you so little where you're like, oh, it's bullshit. Or I want them to say, hey, yeah, you know, our algorithm kicked you out. You know, I saw a statistic today in an article that said 75% of people who are submitting resumes places are getting thrown out in the first round if it's not formatted in this ATS format. So now I have a template open on my computer and I don't know if I'm going to do it today because I have some editing to do today, but this week I'm definitely going to reformat my resume again to try to make it this ATS compliant and see if maybe all of a sudden that starts getting me some more traction. I did connect with somebody on LinkedIn who owns a company I had applied to via either Indeed or ZipRecruiter. And, you know, when they accepted my connection request, I sent them a message that said, hey, thanks for connecting. And they said, yeah, no, not a problem. I'd love to see some of your work. Not right now. Don't send it to me today. But, you know, I've got two or three busy weeks ahead of me. But let's revisit in the middle of the next month. And it's almost like I haven't been doing that enough with the companies I've been applying to. And so if the algorithm is kicking me out of the door, but I have on LinkedIn the ability to find somebody who works at the company and make a connection there, it's almost like a light bulb just went off of like, wow, man, you know, actually going above and beyond, beyond just sending the resume in could yield positive results. So between that, between the audiobook, I also did have a last minute voiceover request from this studio I'd been working with in Fairfield. And it was for a very technical medical script. And they were like so impressed with the fact that I got a lot of the terminology pronunciations correct. They're definitely like, oh, yeah, we'll be calling you again. So maybe, you know, maybe it's all these things working in concert and not losing track of that when the sort of fear creeps in against intrusive thoughts. It's being able to shut down and short circuit intrusive thoughts as soon as they appear. So in any case, I'm going to hang on to some of the good juju that has shown up from talking about all this and working through it out loud with you. I was talking to a good friend yesterday, and she was expressing that she was kind of going through something similar this month of January that I'm going through. And she was like, yeah, you know, it's like the holidays were such this wonderful fantasy. And then as soon as it was over, you know, January came along and it was like reality hit like a ton of bricks. And, you know, I had family visiting and they all left on the same day. And I've been very sad ever since. And I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about, because as soon as I got back from the holidays, like that's when it feels like everything hit me too. And so, you know, I think all of us being there for each other when this is going on and, being those sort of beacons of light and hope and reminding each other of the fact that we're not alone and that there's something to the community that helps us find those frequencies and the vibrations that we need to get to. I think that's really big too. So I definitely am very thankful for my friend Heather, and I hope that she's doing better today as well. And yeah, so thank you all for listening. And as always, if anything in this has been resonating with you and you want to become part of the conversation, it's hollow9podcast@gmail.com. That's the word hollow, the number 9, I-N-E, podcast, all one big word, @gmail.com. You know, share this with a friend if you have if you know people who are going through similar things. You know, I think the more of us who can find a way to help each other heal, the better. And yeah, until next time. You've been listening to a production of the Hollow Nine Network. Feeling It, Healing It, A Diary of Recovery, featuring Dave Maresca. Thank you for listening to Feeling It, Healing It, A Diary of Recovery. Dave Maresca is not a trained medical professional, psychologist, psychiatrist, or licensed professional trained in providing therapeutic mental health care. This podcast is an account of his life experiences and meant to be just that. Any advice or suggestions made in the extemporaneous dialogue of the podcast is not intended to be medical or legal advice. If such advice is what you're seeking, you are encouraged to seek out the services of a licensed professional. The Hollow Nine Network and Dave Maresca assume no liability or responsibility for the information provided in these episodes.